So here we see in principle very schematic a desalination plant. You have a take-in of seawater via a pump, you build up a pressure, and you press the salt water through a membrane. What is behind the membrane here is then without salt, the so-called permeate, which is pure drinking water. And before the membrane, under very high pressure, you enrich your water with salt. And the pressure you need is directly proportional to the salt content here. That means in the beginning, when you build up the pressure, the water will flow relatively easy through here, but then when the salt content slowly rises, you need more and more pressure, and then after some time you will release the water and take new salt water, which has only a salt content of 4.5%, so that the process starts again. And what is very important is that this water under pressure here, that you regain that pressure. If you build up the pressure and then you let it shoot out with the high pressure, you lose a lot of energy. But if here you put a turbine, for example, a so-called energy regain system, then you can take out the energy which you have put into that water by putting it under pressure. You can take it out and you can use that electricity again to motorize this pump. And this technology, the full 100% energy regain system, is till now not really used in India, but it's relatively complicated. But we want to use that energy regain system and thereby lower our electricity consumption. Next. When you see the electricity consumption of desalination plants with reverse osmosis, that is what we are doing, that means with a membrane, then you see in 1970 we had about 15 kilowatt hours electricity necessary to desalinate 1 cubic meter of fresh water. And then it went down. 1980, it was only 7.5 kilowatt hours. 1990, we came to 5. And actually, today, we are at about, with the energy regain system, 2.5 kilowatt hours for the plant itself. That means for 1 cubic meter of drinking water, the process of pressing it through the membrane takes 2.5 kilowatt hours of electricity. Of course, in total, we take more. We have to get the water from the sea. We have to release the brine into the sea, and we have to pump the water up to orbit where we consume. So in total, we can calculate maybe 3.5 kilowatt hours, 4 kilowatt hours. But for the actual process of desalination, we need only 2.5 kilowatt hours per cubic meter. Next. Here we see a principal flow chart of a desalination plant. You take the water in from the open sea, and then you bring it to a pre-filtering, which is here called screening. The usual desalination plants, they work with chemicals. That means here, in the so-called screening, they put some chemicals which kill the biomass and flakes it out so that the biomass doesn't clog the membrane. If you just press fresh seawater without filtering through the membrane, in half an hour your membrane is dead. It's absolutely clogged. The fine pores will be full of some bacteria or whatever. Now, we won't use this thing. We will take a so-called UV kill. That means we will take a quartz glass through which the water will flow and will be exposed to high UV radiation, and that way all organisms will be killed. They would die anyway by the high pressure. But so we flake out the biomass by UV radiation, and then we filter it out in a so-called ultrafiltration here. here in the pre-filter before the actual membrane. And so we will not use any chemicals except when we have to wash the ultra filtration, these filters, we will wash it with some soap. That's the only chemical we use in the whole thing. We have to do regular backwash of the filters, and then we have to, every few weeks, we have to take out the ultra filtration, wash it, put it back. But that way, we don't need any chemicals. Then the high pressure will be built up and the water will go through the membranes. And what will come out on one side, as we have seen before, here is the drinking water. And on the other side is the brine. That means that is the salt-enriched water which will go back into the sea. And the idea of people for a desalination plant that it harms the environment is always that it's because it uses chemicals. But that's not the main harm which the desalination plant does. The main harm is that when you put a lot of pressure here in this system, all the oxygen of the water goes out. The water which afterwards goes back into the sea, and the water in the drinking water does not contain oxygen anymore. And then when it comes out here in the sea, because it has a higher salt content, it's more heavy than the other seawater, and it flows immediately on the ground and forms a carpet of dead water, which has no oxygen and kills everything which is on the ground. So a desalination plant like the one in Chennai, which has a production of about 110 to 150,000 cubic meter a day, that means they put three times the brine into the sea, because you get only one third fresh water, two thirds or three quarters is the brine, which you let it flow out into the sea. So they are producing 450,000 cubic meter of brine, which immediately flows out and must be forming a carpet of a few square kilometers, where all the organisms below that cannot survive because it doesn't have any oxygen. In our case, the plant is so small, and we release the brine so far out, and we have made bathymetric studies which study the current and this and that, that this effect will not be there at all. If you produce only 1,000 cubic meter or up to 5,000 cubic meter and your outlet is far enough outside, you don't have that problem. Like, our outlet will be 500 meters outside. The outlet of the Chennai desalination plant is only 200 meters from the coast. So we are taking care of the main two problems which a reverse osmosis desalination plant can have. One is, we are not using any chemicals except some soap to clean the ultrafiltration. And the release of the brine into the sea is designed in such a way that it will not create any problem at all. Next. Here we see the routing of the pipeline. Of course, a big problem is how to get the water up to our well. We have here our desalination plant near the beach. And then we will go here to the ECR. We go a little bit along the ECR, and then we go, we cross the ECR, and we go up on the Bumaya Palayam road till where the Bumaya Palayam road makes the 90 degrees curve to Kulea Palayam. And then it goes further next. Then it goes further, so we were here at this point, and then it goes further to an area which we call the hill area, where we think we would have a good point from where we could distribute the desalinated water to the town as drinking water. Of course, it will come free of charge, similar like what we do with the electricity. And this area is the highest point in the green belt. You see here the ring road, and this is the outside of the greenbelt. So here in this area, this area is only 5 meters below the Mantri Mandir area, which is the highest in Orwell at all. So from there, especially if we have a small hill, then by gravity from there the water can flow to any household or unit in the city. Next. Here is what I was telling before. We have an intake and an outflow of about 500 meters, and this so-called offshore operation is the most costliest of the whole plant. The plant itself doesn't cost so much. By rule of thumb, for 1 cubic meter per day desalinated water, the installation cost is 1,000 euro. So let us say 75,000 euro you invest, you get 1 cubic meter every day. But the offshore operation, that means the outflow and the intake, that will cost nearly five times as much. So this only these two pipelines and the laying of these two pipelines will cost around 20 crore. We are aiming at, in the first phase, 1,000 cubic meter per day, which is costing us around 3,500 kilowatt hours electricity. There I calculate already some pumping electricity. That means 1.2 gigawatt hours per year. That means one windmill, even under the worst condition with the load shedding and all that, can take care of this first production of 1,000 cubic meter. And when you put that in relation to the overall consumption, what whole of Oroville at present consumes, it's about 1,500 to 2,000 cubic meter per day. It's a little bit difficult to monitor because you don't have, like with the electricity bills, you don't have really statistics. There are so many small water pumps and water services, but it will be for sure more than 50% of what the Oroville consumption is. And the whole plant is designed for 5,000 cubic meter. So in the final phase, we can could take up the whole consumption of Oroville, even up to around 10,000 Orovillians in case the aquifer falls totally saline. But then, of course, there are other water sources like rainwater harvesting and wastewater treatment and all that. So I think this is already a good start for the for an additional water source for Oroville. So any questions regarding that so far? The microphone. No, it cannot, because as I said, when you enrich the water and the salt gets more and more concentrated, then the energy you need to press further down becomes more and more. So this goes exponentially if you would want to press all the water through, so that you have then salt in your hand, it would be an indefinite amount of energy. So you can maximum take out 30%, and 70% you have to let flow back into the sea, otherwise the energy relation becomes, you cannot pay for it anymore. You could then, of course, use, if you want to do what they do in Maracanama, and where they dry out the water and get that sea salt, if you use the brine as a base for that, then you are already 30% more on the way. But here in Oroville, we have not the land or whatever to do that. But by pressing it through the membrane, you can't come to salt as a product.
I have a question, Michael. Even if you bring the brine a little bit faster, farther out, 500 meter, it's still dead. It will still kill whatever is there in the ocean, or not?
No. If you have a certain quantity, like 500,000 cubic meter in one point released in one day, then it doesn't dissolve in the water quickly enough. But if we go 500 meter out, and we had to make, of course, for the environmental impact study to get the permission, you have to make a bathymetric study where you study all the current, and some boats are on the way with all buoys to see where the current goes. So everything is calculated in such a way that 500 meter out, if we release, like if we desalinate 1,000 cubic meter, that means we have 3,000 cubic meter brine. That means you have, let's say, 150 or 120 cubic meter per hour. And if you release 120 cubic meter per hour of brine into the open sea, it dissolves and nothing happens. But if we would release now 500,000 cubic meter, and not that far out, but closer to the shore, then we would create a problem, but this way it doesn't.
I'm just curious, I've read somewhere that there are more ways to do localized desalination, like in houses or communities. And I'm just wondering if you know anything about that, because it seems like there might be problems for getting the water to places like in the Greenbelt or in other places that are hard to reach, how to make that connection with the water.
Yeah, actually, that was part of a study which was made for the Town Development Council, where somebody also proposed decentralized local desalination. But that is absolutely killing, because then you pump up, you don't pump the water from the sea. If you pump seawater through the countryside to that spot, it makes no sense. First of all, it's very dangerous. If your pipe leaks, you have all the seawater in the garden of someone. So what you do, you pump up groundwater, which is then already saline or heavily mineralized, and that by that you pull more seawater into the aquifer, and then where you desalinate it, you have the brine. So what do you do with the brine? You throw it out in your garden, or you have a pipeline 5 kilometers back into the sea, and then what do you do? You release it at the shore, or you also have a 500 meter out into the open sea. A local decentralized desalination makes absolutely no sense. We have already a situation where the groundwater level, or let's say the level of the aquifers, which always carry water, they are much below the seawater level. And right now we are feeding these aquifers from fresh water, which is under the sea, and we draw that into the aquifer, and once that freshwater bubble under the ocean is over, and then we pull salt water, then with one stroke, your aquifer gets saline very fast. And we have to be prepared for that point. And then when you have the salt water intrusion into the aquifer, if then inside the countryside you pump out water and desalinate it, you pull more salt water into the aquifer. Now we take the water from the open sea, we desalinate it, and we discharge fresh water inside the countryside, where after you have taken your shower, it will again go into the aquifer. So now we are creating a flow of fresh water which goes in the aquifer and then will flow towards the sea. So we are going exactly opposite of what you would do if you would have a local desalination, where you pull your water underground into the aquifer.
I presume that this power consumption is for the production on sea level. It's not including it, putting it 50 meters further up the hill to Orville, no?
And two and a half kilowatt hours we need if we look only at the production at sea level. And we have calculated now 1 kilowatt hour for pumping cost. But of course, if you have to pump it 50 meters up, maybe you have a little bit more. But then we are actually not aiming at bringing all the water up to Orville. We would like also to become a water source for the whole area. That means we want to sell also drinking water once the aquifer gets saline to the local villages. And if you see what it comes to, if we would charge the same what the Chennai desalination plant charges, they charge 41 rupee per cubic meter. For a villager, it's not so much. When you think one bucket of 10 liter water comes to 41 paisa, if we would bring the water to the individual houses and meter it and sell it, nobody from the village would go far to a cap and then carry a bucket home for 41 paisa. So I think commercially it is viable also to produce drinking water for the local population, and they can very well afford to pay. And the whole plant also is sort of a model plant to replicate it once the big problem comes. Like, we are having a small plant, absolutely without chemicals, with green energy, a windmill wheeling, and if this model is sustainable and we can prove that yes, this works, then once the big hit comes, one could replicate it and make more of these plants with whatever government money or whatever, and have a solution for the water crisis which is environmental friendly. The environmental aspect is very important for us.
There is one more thing which I have some doubts. I mean, this hill in the northern Greenbelt, that would, is that somehow linked to the lake around the Montrimandir?
We come to that in the third session. Now we are at the end of the second. The next session we come to that question.
Yeah, first of all, the whole thing with electricity and wind generating windmills is all beautiful, and thank you very much. The more windmills, the less low power and coal power we need. And some questions with regard to desalination. Yesterday we had a big water meeting, and Tom and others were saying he can elaborate on it, that desalination can, by its very design, only serve as a spare wheel. Tom and other experts can elaborate on that. Now, a couple of questions. In the cost figures you have given us, did you include buying the land at the seashore, which is extremely costly, as we all know?
We have bought the land already. It belongs to us.
And how much did it cost?
The first part, which was 75 cents, we bought quite some time back. We paid around 60 lakh, and the last part, which we bought just 3 months back, the price per acre had gone up to 2 crores. We bought 40 cent of an acre for half a crore or whatever, a bit more than half a crore.
Yeah, thank you. Then you gave us the figures of how the energy consumption has come down in producing per cubic meters of water over the years. Now, is that based on proven technology which is already somewhere to be seen as operational working, or is it just hopes? Means, I give you a small, let me just finish please, just small example. I have sent in a few weeks ago a Spiegel online reputed German magazine, as you know, article to Tine, who is the partner of Tobi, so they have both seen it, I hope, that the biggest desalination plant on this planet with the latest technology available was built in San Diego, California, and it was ready, and then it was not put into operation, as they only then found out that the operational cost and the energy consumption was way too much and way above all projected estimates before. Are you aware of all this?
Today you have billions of cubic meters every day being desalinated, and there are some areas which live only on desalination plants. Like if you see Mali, the capital of the Maldives, or Saudi Arabia or whatever, they live on desalinated water. The whole culture or community would not be there if the desalinated water wouldn't be there. I think in our case, we have no choice. And desalinated water very soon will be the cheapest water we can have. If you compare it to rain harvested water, it is much, much cheaper. if you go for rain harvested water, which we ourselves will also go, desalinated water is only one of the various water sources, but for rain harvested water, you have to collect the water in the monsoon time, only one point in the year where you have excess water, and then you have to store it until the next summer when you can use it. So storing 1 cubic meter of water for 1 year or per year, or to provide the storing facility of 1 cubic meter storage, definitely costs much more than 41 rupees to desalinate that 1 cubic meter. You can make any calculations. Let's say you take a water tank, how much will it cost? So the storing of rain harvested water comes maybe 10 times the price than what it costs to desalinate that water. And on top of it, the other methods to collect water, for example, rain harvested water, it's not that this is a technology which is so 100% fantastic and environmentally friendly. Today, the problems which we have with the beaches, for example, all over the world, not only here, but in California, in Florida, Maldives, whole islands disappear, it is because all the rivers don't flow anymore from the mountains to the sea. So all the sand is held back and no sand reaches the beaches. So now we are coming into a phase where you can do whatever you want. All the beaches will go because the whole equilibrium is totally disturbed. Before, every day so many millions of cubic meters of sand was washed from the Himalayas into the ocean. Now everywhere there are check dams and power stations and this and that. So whatever you do, it has a downside also. And with the rainwater harvesting, if you take that as an alternative, you pull out fresh water from the natural circulation and use it up. And you don't allow it to go into the aquifer and recharge it, while what we do is the opposite. We are creating fresh water, pumping it up, and then it goes down into the aquifer. So I think from the environmental point of view, if we don't use chemicals and we see that the discharge of the brine is done in an environmentally friendly method, our system from the environmental point of view can definitely compete with rainwater harvesting, and economy wise it can compete 10 times.
Excuse me, I don't want to go into details, it's getting too late, but we yesterday it was made very clear, rainwater harvesting, if done properly as a dynamic engineering, it will recharge the aquifers. It doesn't have to be stored in man-built tanks. And that is a necessity, and then if that's done properly, it is definitely cheaper than any high energy consuming desalination plants. But one thing, I have understood that also the cleaning of the membrane filters is requiring chemicals and other difficult substances. Any word on that?
The membrane itself, you usually clean with backwash, that you press your thing out, and otherwise what I said, the only chemicals what we use is for washing the filters, but that is not that we are using the usual, like what usually the desalination plant uses is heavy chlorine in order to kill all the organisms which are being sucked into the plant, and then you use acids, for example, when you let the brine flow out and you want to dissolve all the mussels which are in the pipelines and all this and that. So for all these things where usually you use chemicals, heavy chemicals in desalination plants, we have chosen alternative options which are maybe a little bit more expensive and a little bit more difficult, like when you want to clean your membrane or your ultrafiltration with chemicals, okay, you put some acids and make a backwash, we have to take it out, we have to brush it or clean it, put it back, but our way will be except for some soap solution for cleaning without chemicals.
So a plant which ultimately has is aiming at the capacity of 5 to 10,000 cubic meters. What is the total cost of that, and can you wheel the electricity generated by the wind generators of Varuna to that because it seems to be high tension, or can you not?
Yeah, yeah, we can wheel from the first day onwards, because from that group captive wind park sort of which we have, we can add consumers even below a certain consumption, because they are already, we wheel into that pool. So from the windmills we have, we can immediately wheel into it. That means we adjust kilowatt hours produced against kilowatt hours consumed.
Okay, just two last questions. One is, what is the amount of time you project to build and get this thing into operation? And secondly, if you are having pipelines going up to the orbital plateau, what is the diameter of the pipes? And don't you think that you will be forced by circumstances, like yesterday we have learned again that Imperia Mudaya Chavadi and Kalabel and Kotoku Pump, the saline intrusion is advancing, that in the villages there is no water at all? Don't you think that you have to make a certain amount available for free? I don't think you can make business there.
This giving for free is, we have a contract with the immediate surrounding of the plant that those families will get a certain quantity for free. But otherwise, we don't want to give it for free, and we think for the price where we will sell it, the people very well can afford it. And if we create in these areas an alternative water source, which, okay, it will be sold to the consumers which are not part of Orwell, then also it's a relief. The bigger relief is that you get the drinking water. Whether then you pay 40 paisa for your bucket or not, that is really secondary. The wages of people outside of our will are such that they can very well afford that water. So we definitely want to make the water available to the areas which are struck by salinity. And the diameter of the pipe you were asking, we are using 40 centimeter inner diameter of the pipeline, but we are laying purposely now two pipelines next to each other. One we reserve for a possible uphill power storage or hydro power storage in case it comes, so that we have one line for the desalinated water and one line for the hydro power storage. So two pipelines, 40 centimeter diameter, inner diameter, will be laid.
How does the desalination plant deal with other pollutants in the water, for example, pond sewage?
The desalinated water is actually absolute pure drinking water. For the matter of taste, you remineralize it. When it comes out from the membrane, it's absolutely pure water, just H2O. No minerals and nothing. But then usually you let it run through some chalk so that it absorbs again some minerals, so that it's from the taste the usual water. And then it's of course absolute pure water, no bacteria or germs inside. And okay, this is pure. Now once you use it for something, I don't know, in a commercial unit or whatever, and then you pollute it, okay, that we can't take care of. That's then beyond our reach. Or have I misunderstood you?
No, I'm just thinking about maybe, I don't know, heavy metals or other.
No, but there is nothing inside. Like the membrane, which even filters out the salt, it will filter out all other pollutants. So even if you have a high pollution of mercury or whatever in the sea, what you get in the end will be absolutely pure. Everything else goes back into the sea from where it comes.
Okay, just the last question. Does the desalination plant also fall under Varuna Private Limited?
For the time being, we have put it under Varuna Private Limited. We intend to form now also an oil water unit, as we have it with the electricity that we have the private limited and that we have an oil unit that of course has to pass so many working groups, and then there will be a big discussion. So I expect that in 3 years, maybe, if we are lucky, we can come to some kind of conclusion on that. And hopefully much before that, the desalination plant will be up and running. That's my guess, but let's see. One second, Adhar wants.
I have a question about the quality of the water in terms of vitality compared to the groundwater. Do you have studies on that?
In terms of vitality?
Yeah, life force, let's say, not in chemical terms or purity in that sense, but in terms of vital content.
I don't know. I know somebody who is in that branch, who since 10 years on purpose, he lives 100% on desalinated water. That means he drinks only desalinated water, and he still is quite vital. Medical-wise, we all have the problem that we have too many minerals. 2 grams of salt, at least in the West, is said, is your daily quota, and that you have already in 100 grams of bread, you have already 2 grams of salt. So usually everybody takes too many minerals, and if you would get a totally demineralized water, it should actually equal out your balance. But for the purpose of taste, and maybe also for the purpose of vitality, usually you let it run through chalk, that's what I said, to remineralize it so that it doesn't have all these free valences which it has if it's demineralized. So the water quality you get is actually, should be a top water quality.
You compare it to what's coming out of the ground water.
That depends very much on what comes out on the ground. That depends on your location and all that. But okay, that's a subject I'm not so much into.
Yes, Michael. One thing that actually I through the TDC I made them send to you a letter regarding the liability over this entire operation, because as you told us just now, the thing will be borne by Varuna Private Limited. Okay, but if, I don't want to create problems, but if by chance we go into a big problem, because you will have to give water to the village. You said you are going to give to the neighbors and then sell to the other one. Already this, I would advise that you go through a very good social development scheme to ensure that you will not get some backfiring over that, because it would kill your project. And the second thing is, if we run in big problem, people do not know Varuna Private Limited. They know Auroville. Around, in all villages, it will be Auroville is giving water to this village. Auroville is pumping fresh water to the plateau. So how do we, Auroville, who are not part of the decisions, how will we handle this situation? I mean, please, think about that. I can understand that you are very generous to Auroville. I can understand that you have very large dreams, and I must say that in some respect, I admire this capacity that you have. But please, do bear in mind that Auroville is not just something. You see, when I hear you speaking before with all the figures about electricity, as an Aurovillian,
I don't feel that I am gaining something. I feel that I am losing something. And this for me is very painful. I must say that. So I don't know if it is shared by people, because we are all like blinking eyes over all this wealth, abundance, and all this. But I feel we are missing something. So it may be that it has not yet been communicated, but I feel I am missing something. But very essential for my life of Aurobillion. I mean, I also made a choice to come here to be part of that adventure. And this form is fundamental.
But do you think that if this subject would not have be handled by us, the Varuna team, which is, by the way, not only the five executives of Varuna Private Limited or Varuna Orbit, but the team is, of course, much larger. Walter is as much part of it, and Shiva and all the others. We have a relatively big team. So do you really think if this subject is not handled by this team, but by the Auroville administration, that it would be handled better? I tell you, it would never come up. There would be endless discussions. The groundwater, the aquifer will be 100 times saline before anything happens. And then we are not doing anything except we are creating an alternative water source, and we want to give it free to Auroville or to the Aurovillians. And there again, the main discussions will come on that point, that why are we giving it free and why are we not charging and giving the money to Unity Fund and this and that. But okay. We want to go ahead with a moneyless economy, and that is a very important point for us, and that is one of the main reasons actually why we also have all this conflict with some people, because they are advocating strongly that no, there has to be a monetary system, only then wastage is prevented and this and that and blah blah blah, and we are again and again stuck on that same groove. Which I think it should be exactly the opposite. We are here to create a new system, and this wants to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And then if you route it through the same system as what reigns now, I don't think that you will gain anything by that.
No, I can understand your reasoning. The reasoning, perfect, commercially perfect, management-wise perfect. But there is something. Somebody before stressed the importance of the community process. I completely share with you that these 120 groups that you quote quite often are very obsolete and clumsy and really tie our hands more than anything. I share that completely. I would be more a man of action, you know, doing things. Agreed. But I am here with my brothers and my sisters, and we are sharing our humanity life. And this is, for me, essential. Much more essential than getting free electricity. I am getting electricity from you guys, no problem. But there is...
How does the free electricity disturb your private life?
No,
your
for us, it's okay. Actually, we realize, Francesca was telling me before, we realize that since we have the thing, we have a small drop of electricity. So it's not that. But sometimes I attribute it more to the change of meteorology than maybe to my change of consciousness. And it's not so much here the problem. The problem, I feel, is this constant juggling between one foot inside, one foot outside. Varuna Auroville, Varuna Private Limited. Can we stabilize this thing? Because it makes me feel a bit dizzy. You know, you have to choose your camp. You have to choose your side. You are in Auroville. No, sorry. No. You are in Auroville and you play with us.
I think.
Or you stay outside.
I think Auroville has to be. Auroville has to be wide enough to include non-Auroville Foundation initiatives. Every other society includes NGOs, non-government organizations.
Yes. No,
and if Auroville doesn't include initiatives which are not started by the Orwell administration, it would not be nice. When Orwell was started, the Navajata told to the mother, we have to buy all the lands. Mm. So the mother said, but why? Her first concept was that people will just participate. Mm. And then comes this thing of possession. We have to possess it. We have to possess that land. And if somebody else possesses it, then that is a danger. And all this mindset of that you have to own it, and you have to be in possession, and you have to be in control, and all. This is killing. What is the problem?
No, the problem is, like it was said before, we want to have the chance to participate in a different way to this evolution. I don't want this kind of top-down that suddenly one guy pay my electricity bill. I agree with you, I am free to accept it or not. But there is something that we want to go, to develop together.
Okay, but if today we would make, let's say, we would make a residence assembly voting, and we would vote, do we want a desalination plant or not? I'm quite sure that the majority would say, yes, we need a desalination plant.
Yes, and I would say...
But if it goes through your working groups, the Town Development Council, FAMC and ABC and God knows what, and then discussions, it will take a very long time.
Michael, this is not a fair argument. We cannot put all the problematic on the shoulders of this problem of working groups. The thing is, it's the first time maybe that you guys, and you are on the stage, and you speak directly to us, and you explain the thing. I came back 1.5 years, the only thing I heard, well, we got a reveal today, 1.5, 2 months ago, where you gave an interview. Already some more information came. But this is what kills the thing, you know. This non-participation. If people, if your team, you say we have such a team, if your team, you know, instead of playing a side, would share with the community the information, then the community can tell you also some tips about, for example, why do you put the outlet of the desalination plant in the south and not in the north? I would advise you like that, because for 9 months, the current goes up. So don't put your brine before you take the water.
Yeah.
So these are small details, but participation can
reduce this richness.
Actually, we have such a thick study, maybe even I'm not sure, maybe even it's the other way around, but we have such a thick study where we paid in total, I think, 40 lakh or something, or half a crore for an environmental impact study, which Larsen and Turpo made, with so many bathymetric studies and this and that, and all specialists came and everybody gave his chutney to the dish, and now we have so much paper, and I don't think that if now it would go through, I don't know, any committee or working group here in Orwell, that they would have some essential advice which would improve the thing from the technical point of view.
Yeah, I can understand.
Okay, but, any other?
Can we go back?
Yeah, we have still now the subject of...
I want to ask one question about climate change. Because climate change is all over the world, and most of the predictions say that the water will raise about 2 meters in the 30, 40 years coming. And I think your company, your factory is near the sea.
Yeah.
So how it can be protected from anything coming from the sea?
Yeah,
you know, like it did in Japan with the... what happened because of the tsunami, this kind of thing, which can happen.
Yeah. Actually, the plant itself is not very complicated, and it actually comes the way we had planned, turnkey in containers from Germany, put up, connected, and it runs. And the same way you can remove it. So if, let's say, the seawater level would rise, fine, you would have to put your plant on some pillars 2 meters higher or whatever, the important thing, which is the pipeline into the sea that remains wherever the shore goes, and the pipeline from there up to Orville that also will remain. And whether you position your plant here or 50 meters further or there, you can just move it. That's not at all the problem. Okay, and then after that question, shall we go to the third topic? So, but whoever wants to go home, nobody points the finger at you if you're hungry and you want. But actually, we have tea and some snacks or whatever.
Take a break. Continue, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's finish that now. Everybody has already come, and if you have some questions, yeah, write to us or meet any of. We are always there. Yeah, but now many people have come for that late thing, and if we don't, so he wants to still say something, maybe you limit that to 1 minute, and then we go to the next, and if you still have questions, we can do it, take it up afterwards, then everybody can go.
Thank you. We are just trying to attempt an integral approach to the problem, to the bioregion. We are trying to attempt an approach, integral approach to the bioregion water. In this, we had a presentation also yesterday, and we kept the desalinated water as a spare wheel. How do you see the desalinated water as a spare wheel? Because we are here to try, not the conventional. Our wheel is an experiment. We should go beyond. Nothing is new what you are proposing. It's an old technology. We are proposing something nobody has done before. The integral approach. It's not that what you said before is not correct. The water harvesting is not preventing water from recharging the groundwater. Sorry, that is not correct.
Okay.
Before talking, I want just to have your opinion. If you see the desalinated plant, desalination plant as the total solution to the problem, or if you see it as a part of the solution.
No, no. It can be only a part. And the concept is that we make available all water sources, desalinated water, wastewater treatment, harvested storm water, and then when all the sources are there, then the future itself will show which one is the best, and then automatically that one will be used. If we find out that rainwater harvested water is much more economic and much better, then the plant will remain at 1,000 cubic meter per day and will not be developed. But if we find that the rainwater harvested water is so costly and in fact not available, then we have to step up the desalination plant. So we will put all the water sources in place, and then the future will show which is the best option. That nobody can predict today. We don't know when the aquifers will turn saline and to what degree, and what will be the climate tomorrow, and what will electricity cost tomorrow, and all that. So that we have to leave it to the future. But not to develop this water source, I think, would be a mistake.